First word of the show.
Damn it. He beat me again. Javi Haas, my guy, my friend. You beat me to it again. Aaron Thomas, I'm upset. Get us started. Javi, what's up, my brother? How are you?
What's up? I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. We're chilling. We're enjoying our first day of the week. Hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day. You spent it with your loved ones, spent it with your friends. If you're like Javi and you live in Argentina, you just didn't get a three-day weekend and you're lame.
No, but man, it was the opposite. I got screwed on every side of it. So on Thursday and Friday, so we had a holiday in Argentina on Thursday, and they do this thing called the bridge holiday. So they make Friday a holiday as well. So I was working for Benzinga and then covering for people who weren't working in Argentina on Thursday and Friday. And then Monday I was like, oh, I get the day off. Nope. Because everything is active in you know, outside the U.S. So it was, they stole my long weekend.
You just had a two-dayer, dude. You had a two-dayer. Well, we heart you. We love you. Everyone here loves Javier. Your amazing news. I'm going to start off with a plug. Benzinga.com/cannabis. If you love what you're here, you can jump right over to Benzinga.com/cannabis after this for 30-plus articles a day. Javi and his team cover the space like no other publication out there. But Javi, man, it seems like we started off the week with a bang, a little bit of a load up on news since we were off yesterday, and a lot to cover. With that said, we're very excited for our guest today, Katie Enright. She's the CEO and founder of Lavinia. It's going to be a fun conversation, diving into a specific cannabis product type segment. Consumer base? I don't know. We're going to find out.
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above.
Or below, depending on which position you like. You'll understand why. Just give us a few minutes. We'll get to it.
Javi.
I got a shout out Aaron, actually, today, because the title he gave our screen today, Live Your Life to the Climax, is just perfect.
Is that Aaron Thomas that comes up with these? Because like he's done a lot of good ones recently.
No,
so props to you.
I see Katie on the backstage. I think that is hers.
Yeah, Katie. Get out of here, Aaron. You didn't do that. That was Katie. Yeah. Anyways, Javi, let's get to some news, man, because I think we're going to have an awesome interview and I want to get to it shortly. But what are you thinking about today? It's on your mind. Obviously, a big piece of news.
Out of Minnesota, which became the 23rd state in the U.S. to legalize adult use cannabis following signature by Tim Walz, the governor, who is a Democrat. It's a 300-page bill that allows adults of 21 years old and older to use recreational cannabis, seeking to license companies in the state and expunging low-level cannabis convictions. I like that the bill is all-encompassing. Former Governor Jesse Ventura, who also supported legalization when she served, and when he served back in 2003, attended the ceremony as well.
Awesome.
Under the new law that will become effective on August 1st, people will be able to possess and grow marijuana at home. This is a great bill. Possession of cannabis flower will be limited to 2 pounds, which is almost 1 kilo. It's an insane amount. And 2 ounces at home, right?
And also, I believe the start date for some of these licenses would be a year from now, if I am not mistaken. If their timeline stays true, I think I saw that this morning.
That is
well.
Awesome. I love it even pretty more quick. So then, because it's, you know, what will happen starting August 1st, people will start growing cannabis at their own places. They will be able to have a bunch of weed at home, move with up to 56 grams. In public places. So I think it'll be an interesting state to watch, where we'll see a conversion from illicit markets to legal markets in an unusual way for America, where business comes second to access.
Yeah, man. I think the Midwest just became even stronger. Cannabis. Minnesota's the Midwest, right? I'm questioning myself now.
So are you, you're asking me?
That's the Midwest. That's totally the Midwest. Do I need to go back to elementary school? I don't know. We'll come back to you guys on that one. But we're going to go ahead and say the Midwest just got stronger. Also, kind of along the same geography lines here, Javi, another state is helping companies. This is Illinois. State lawmakers approve a bill allowing marijuana businesses to claim state tax deductions as a part of a 280E fix. That's the second state in as many weeks. Do you think we see this trend continue? Because this is awesome.
I mean, it seems like states are starting to get tired of waiting for the Senate to pass safe banking, and they're just like, you know, whatever, you know, let's just do it ourselves, which is a very cool thing for America. By the way, hello to Danny Ramirez. He is in South Florida. Liazam in Colombia. Awesome.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? Thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate it. If you're listening after the fact on Apple, Spotify, make sure to like, subscribe, please review and rate us. It helps to know what you all think and what you want to hear about. And please subscribe to our Cannabis Daily newsletter out every day. Ozla does a wonderful job with that. Let's keep it rolling though. Quick fire, rapid fire, two or three more, man, yep. To keep us going here.
A Benzinga exclusive, historic importation of THC into the U.S. could reshape the global cannabis supply chain. A partnership between MMJ International Holdings and Global Cannabis Holdings basically will allow them to bring THC from Uruguay to the U.S. And this is particularly interesting, right? This works within a loophole in the U.S. law that allows the importation of THC for research at universities, pharmacies, etc. What is very interesting, in my opinion, is that we're starting to see the end of the supremacy of the University of Mississippi. For decades, the University of Mississippi was the only DEA licensed facility that could provide cannabis for research in the U.S. We now have a few others like Bright Green Corporation, BGXX, and now Global Cannabis Holdings and MMJ International Holdings are joining this club.
I love Global Cannabis Holdings as a business. Of them.
I was actually
such a cool business
with their CEO, David Lufglass, very cool guy. And you know, everything that was on the record, you can see on Benzinga.com/cannabis, of course. But one thing he said on the record, off the record, that I love, and I'm going to say it anyways, he said, I'm calling this the Holy Grail deal, right? That because the scope and reach that this could have over the next few years is massive, massive, massive in terms of potential revenue for the company awesome. And access to myriad of pharmacies in the U.S.
Let me throw something. It's a curveball at you because I didn't tell you I was going to bring this up. But I feel like, you know, we used to work with him. We appreciate his insights. He's very tier two MSO centric. Doesn't like the tier ones. This is an analyst being. Can you guess? I'm going to say
Pablo.
No, we still work with Pablo.
Oh, Alan.
Alan Brockstein. He's at Seeking Alpha, posted a video interview through them. Says it isn't quite the time to buy cannabis stocks.
That is interesting.
Right?
Is it the time to short cannabis stocks then?
I guess. You know who he did say he was bullish on? We actually had one of their stocks on last week, Weedmaps. He is bullish on Weedmaps, and he's also bullish on Planet 13. I haven't heard a bullish, I would say, analysis on Planet 13 in a hot second. So that's interesting. I'd be curious to what pushed that into a fundamentally positive situation for him. But just thought I would point out a couple stocks that he likes right now. Also talking about Air Wellness, seems to be bouncing back a little bit from last year. So if you guys want to check that out, I think you guys covered it this morning, put it into a column, but very interesting to see what these analysts are looking at, if they're saying buy, if they're saying not buy, and who they're saying to buy, because all three of those stocks have not been popular buys recently.
Well, maybe that's why he's recommending them. He goes like, okay, they've been pretty embattled recently. This is a good time, a good entry point for investors. in a market that is clearly starved for value.
Amen. All right, man. Let's get to it. What do you think?
Do it.
Let's do it. All right. Aaron Thomas, please set us up with a way cooler person than the two of us, Katie Enright, CEO of Lavinia. Katie, you got to hear our spiel. You got to hear us talk about news. The news is all over the place this morning, by the way. I think we hit on everything and everywhere in this world, but I am so excited to chat with you, but I don't want to give anything away, steal your thunder. Can you, in your words, just tell us, what is Lavinia? What is Lavinia about in the cannabis industry?
And Minnesota is in the Midwest.
I'm not an idiot.
I can do a Minnesota accent the whole time if you want, from Minnesota, don't you know?
Let's do it.
So our whole goal of Lavinia is to enhance people's sex life through cannabis. So we launched in September of last year with a lubricant, a silicone-based lubricant. We are in R&D, almost finished. Oh, we're right about to launch before sex gummies and after sex gummies, and as well as anal shooters.
I'm so like the before sex gummies, are they focus based? I'm curious. Yeah, what is the product like?
Can you just like break down all of them?
That'd be awesome, actually.
Yeah. So we're still in R&D, so we're still researching exactly what we're going to do. So I kind of don't want to marry anything I'm going to say, but we put Tony Goat Weed, Maca Root, and Tung Cat Ali, which are basically designed to increase blood flow. And anytime you have increased blood flow, magical things happen sexually.
Fair enough. So I have one follow-up question. I know Javier is going to kill me if I keep talking because he's ready for this interview. So Katie, when it comes to like kind of sexual products in the cannabis sector, we've seen companies have like a line alongside other lines, but you are making this your whole ethos, it seems. What did you see that was missing in the cannabis space or how did you decide to go about it like this?
Yeah. So cannabis is a vasodilator, which basically means that it increases the size of the blood vessels, which increases blood flow. And like I said before, anytime you have increased blood flow, you know, like when you use our lubricant, you apply it topically to that region and it increases blood flow, which makes your orgasm so much more intense, which makes having them a lot easier. And so I just found that like cannabis, exactly like you're saying, I initially wanted to be a consumer of the products. Like I didn't want to start this company. I just wanted to have products that worked. And there just weren't any on the market. Like it really was just... Hi to your dog. That's so cute. there wasn't anything on the market. And so that's why I decided to create it. And actually, I didn't even really want to create it. I did it as an act of love for people that I cared about initially. I made a lube and I would just give it to people randomly. And then a stranger approached me and was like, "Are you the weed lube girl?" And I was like,
I guess I am.
I am. I never knew that that's what I was going to be known as, but yes. And they were like, "Can I buy some of that?" And as soon as he said that, I was like, "Oh, this is a business."
Are any of the products currently in the market or is everything in R&D phase right now?
So the lubricant is a silicone-based lubricant, and that is currently, it has THC and CBD. It's called Ojai, and that's available in almost 200 dispensaries. I think it's like 180 dispensaries in the state of California.
Nice. And one of the things that I saw is it's very focused on people with vulvas, right? Not like generally, right? How does that work? Why do you choose that focus and how does it affect people with penises?
Well, so it's interesting because that's initially what we thought, because again, you need in order to increase the blood flow, it has to be like absorbed in a mucous membrane. That's how it kind of increases the blood flow. I got to change that because mucous membrane doesn't sound sexy. So we need to rebrand. We need a good rebrand. They need a publicist. But anyways, so what we realized though is that we actually did a lot of scientific data. So there's a vibrator called the Lioness that has sensors on the side that records the pulsing of the vaginal walls during a sexual experience. So we actually had like quantifiable data on what using a cannabis lubricant can do. And I can just show you, I just pulled it up really quickly. So you can see the green line is just a regular water-based lube. And then the red line is our cannabis lube. And so what's really interesting about that is that we always thought that men say to us all the time, like, wow, we used it, it was amazing. And we thought, you know, transdermally, it doesn't absorb, so it doesn't really do anything to a penis. A man can use it anally and experience heightened effects of the cannabis. But what we realized is the pulsing of the vaginal walls is so much more intense that that actually feels better for the man as well. So men do get like a heightened effect as well.
Wait, so for those not watching, for those listening on a podcast format later on, it looked like what you would want a cannabis stock chart to look like versus a flat sequential quarter over quarter. we're gonna take this back to the stock news, but that is crazy how different that was on that chart.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
There is an onset time of 15 minutes to a half hour, and that's really important to note because that is like the key to success. People know that it's a lubricant. They put it on, they go to town, and they're like, I didn't really notice anything, but it really does need that 15 minutes to a half hour to dilate the blood vessels and increase the blood flow.
Is that similar to, you know, non-cannabis lubricants?
No, traditionally for lubricants, you can just apply and have a sexual experience. But for the cannabis, if you want the cannabis to actually increase the blood flow, it needs that 15 minutes to a half hour.
I mean, if you apply it and immediately go to town, as Katie put it, we'll get just the lubrication, right? Without the effects of the THC.
You'll have the green line.
You get like the delayed effects of THC afterwards.
Correct.
Gotcha. That's so interesting. So, you know, kind of another question for me, you are also working on a hemp line. So I'm going to go a little bit more product, maybe effect based here. How is this going to be different, and or what are you going to have to do from the hemp to the more marijuana cannabis side to, you know, make sure that these products are consistent, and or are they meant to be consistent?
Well, you know, it's plant-based, right? So there is always going to be a little bit of inconsistency. But we're creating the hemp line mainly so that we can distribute nationwide. Because really only being able to sell state by state is kind of a killer, especially for such a niche product and such a niche industry. So that's the main reason why we're doing it.
I have a question, and this is something I wonder that might not have a lot to do with the initial intent of the line, but... For the anal products, do they also have like maybe medical applications? And you know, I'm imagining, you know, going to a proctologist. I'm 33 now, but I will need to go to a proctologist soon, right? And I assume relaxed and dilated. I lost a word.
I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, would it help, for instance? Is it something you're looking into as well, like some medical applications of it?
Well, so cannabis is really strict in that you can't make medical claims at all. Zero zipsilch. You have to say like, my experience of this has been yada, yada, yada. So I can't make any medical claims, but people have said that they have tried it and it's helped with lower back pain and stuff like that. So there definitely are other applications. You know, we're designing it, again, sexually. Based. We're designing it for enhanced pleasure during anal sex. It's really interesting because there is very little research on anal sex in the clinical setting. And there's also like no research on cannabis and anal sex. So it's kind of fun because we are really like creating a path that doesn't exist, literally. So it's kind of fun and really exciting to be on the forefront of something such a new discovery.
You know, it's just kind of leading me down this path, but I'm curious, you know, how are you all, or is there marketing to the LGBTQ community here? Is that a part of what you do when it comes to this specific use for your product?
Absolutely. We were trying to launch for Pride for the anal shooters. Unfortunately, I don't think that we want to have the best product possible. So that's really our number one priority. But yeah, absolutely. And what's great for, it's, you know, 33 to 48%, I think, is the statistic of people that engage in anal sex. And so it's like that kind of runs the gamut of everybody. And so we try to be, as a company, very welcoming. Part of our company is like educational based, sex education based. So yeah, everyone, we want to be a very inclusive company.
It's a very, and then kind of a follow-up here, and you know, this kind of actually got brought up last week in terms of a marketing discussion. So I'll throw a similar question to you. It's a turbulent time to be marketing, you know, some of these products across, you know, I would say LGBTQ lines to maybe, I guess more, you know, for lack of a better term, more heterosexual based uses. So without those, you know, do you have to completely think about two different marketing focuses, or do you care about the pressure that's out there externally right now? You know, that's on these larger corporations. I'm just curious, do you think of that, or do you need to think of that at this point?
So it's very interesting, because that's actually, I would say, our biggest challenge as a company is our marketing, because not only are we cannabis based, but we're also adult industry, you know, sex based. And so it is so limiting in how we can currently market. It's very, very, very challenging just in general, just anything, you know, without adding any other, you know, factors besides that. So that's kind of been a huge challenge for us, because like, you know, Instagram, you can't advertise like lubes, but you can't advertise cannabis, or you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, did I get that, vice versa, whatever. But it's just, that's been a really big challenge for us.
I have a series of questions. One is from the chat. I'll get to it in a second, Loy. But before that is, one of the questions that I get often, right, down here in Argentina, I know of at least one lube that contains cannabis, mostly CBD, that is approved by our equivalent of the FDA down here. And when my friends ask me about it, one of the recurring questions that I get is, why wouldn't I just get high? Right? How is it different, you know, to apply this topically versus smoking a joint?
Well, it's a completely different effect. So if you apply it topically, what it's going to do is it's going to increase the blood flow to that area, but it doesn't give you a psychoactive head high unless you go down on somebody that's wearing it. And, you know, sublingually, you will get a little bit high if it's absorbed that way. But, you know, when you smoke it, you get a head high and you get a different sensation. So they're completely different products.
And then it's from the chat. One of the questions is there a specific cannabis genetic that is preferred to use in order to get better results? I'm assuming both for sex in general and for topical applications in particular.
Yeah, it's interesting because cannabis interacts with everybody's endocannabinoid system so differently. So it's very funny because I wish there was just something that we could be like, this is the you know, magic one that works for everyone. You know, we use a distillate, and the reason we do that, and we make sure that our distillates are in the 90s in terms of purity, just because we want, you know, really, really, really pure THC and pure CBD. We use our base that we use is a silicone base. We use an FDA approved silicone base, great for both vaginal and anal use. We're very conscious about what we use because it is used in such a private area. And then we test the product, you know, the distillates that we get are tested. The silicone is, like I said, it's an FDA approved silicone. And then when we mix it, we send it off to the lab and test it. And then we bottle it, and then we send it off to the lab and test it again. So there's a lot that goes from the plant to the lube.
So I have one question here. When it comes to shelf space, right? And you think about, you're in 180 dispensaries. That's awesome. You know, I think a lot of brands struggle to get in dispensaries right now, obviously because the dispensaries have pain points as well, and they may not hit them. You all offering a unique product. I would imagine dispensaries will continue to be interested. But when it comes to shelf space, how do you work with these dispensaries to feature your product in an appropriate area, an appropriate place, an appropriate way that offers, you know, what you are as, oh, you know, I'm here for pre-rolls, but then I walk past this and like, interesting. You know, do you think about that? Do you work in ways, you know, that kind of would be different than other standard cannabis brands with dispensaries?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually we put a lot of resources into that because we do see pretty remarkable sell-through when we do invest in that. And basically what that is we invest in a lot of PADs, which is like a patient appreciation day. So we have like booths set up. We do like a kissing booth, which you grab a Hershey kiss and there's like a percentage off underneath it. But that's really, really, really important because people don't traditionally go to dispensaries to buy a lubricant or a sex-based product. And this is so new. The whole category is so new that people just don't really even know that it exists. So that's part of it is for us investing in education and educating people is, you know, to show them the chart that I just showed you of, you know, why it works, how it works, why it's better. Why wouldn't you just smoke it and instead apply it topically? You know, and honestly, smoking and doing the lube is great too. You know, the same thing with the gummies. That's what we got you before, during, and, you know, after sex now.
You were discussing a little bit earlier about, you know, the limits to advertising. You can't advertise on Instagram. You could potentially advertise maybe on Twitter, on Benzinga or El Planteo for sure. But like, what are you doing like in terms of generating awareness beyond, you know, the in-person activations? And as a follow-up, kind of piggybacking of a discussion we had last week on the show, how do you feel about advertising on pornography websites?
On porn. Okay, so we tried that, and we didn't see an ROI. It was very interesting because
everyone says the same
thing. Really? That's so funny. So we had 2.6 million impressions, and from that, it led to like 17 sales. It's also very challenging because it's kind of top of funnel advertising, you know, because you can't really see. The thing about cannabis is it's all individually owned mom and pop shops, or sometimes they'll be corporate, you know, they'll have like 3 or 4 to 8 or stores or stuff like that. But it's really difficult to kind of track those sales. And you almost have to, like you're saying with shelf space, it's like you have to go into the store and form a relationship with that specific dispensary and then do that to all 800 in the state, you know, which is very time consuming, cumbersome, labor intensive, kind of all of the things.
Awesome. Katie Enright, CEO of Lavinia. We are at time, but what an interesting conversation. Obviously super unique for us. So thank you for walking us through. Thank you for showing us what a cannabis stock chart should look like, but also what your product does. It's so cool. So really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Katie. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. I mean, that really was like, I don't think we've had a conversation like that in a year, at the very least. I remember talking to Miss Grass about it, like about their sexual cannabis product line.
I mean, not as
not open. Even as cool. Like, I'm not even like in depth as this.
Mm-hmm. No, I loved it, man. I love it. I hope we don't get deleted from YouTube.
I hope we do. What do you think of that, YouTube? Take it. Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in today. There's a lot of news happening today. Really appreciate it. Go follow Katie. Go follow Lavinia. Follow us, Javier Jase, man with the plan. He finally got a blue check mark, and Elon took that ish right away. and then Elliot Lane 10 on Twitter. Appreciate you all. Javier, last words to you, my brother.
EasyCannabis.com. Come and join us in Chicago, the original hometown of Miss Katie and Wright.
We'll have Silicon Valley of Weed. Yes, that's right.
Sir. September 27 and 28, the top executives, policymakers, investors, celebrities in the cannabis space will be there. They will be ready to make deals, to invest in companies, to acquire companies, to find new partners, new friendships sometimes. So
friendships. Come see Javier. He's looking for a friend.
I made an insane amount of friends at Benzinga events. It's been 16
it's
of them.
It's true.
Honestly,
it's good times.
It would speak so poorly of my social skills if in 16 editions of the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference I hadn't made several friends.
It would. It would indeed. It's true, though. This space is different than any other conference you'll go to, or at least you know, sector you would go to. Cannabis events, they're just good. They're just chill, good people, good vibe. It's a great community, and I love being a part of it. But Javi, you made it, man. you know, this event wouldn't happen if it weren't for you. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you all for being participatory in the chat. We will see you again on Thursday for another great interview. Till then, y'all. Peace. We'll be right back.